Our next guest, I'm going to continue to speak English because we have been deleted. Our German version has been deleted. Our next guest is Professor Björn Hammarskjöld, whom we've spoken with a couple of times already. He is a Swedish assistant professor in pediatrics at Strömstad Academy, has a PhD in biochemistry, and is now an independent senior scientist in nutrition. And you have found something very, well, should I say shocking or surprising, Björn? What is it?
Switch on.
Björn, I think you're muted.
Is it better now?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. The plug was unplugged. Mm-hmm. No, what I have found is I'm studying the statistics from Läkemedelsverket, the medical authority in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And they have, as far as I have looked at it, 288 persons that have as vaccine that died because of the vaccine, what they think. And when I look at the numbers, I found just one of those 288 deaths that was below the age of 20, as we have 10-year departments of when they look at the figures, and so that means that out of those 288 fatalities, there is just one that has been below the age of 20.
Are these confirmed cases, Björn? Is this correlation, or was it confirmed that there's causation, that the vaccine caused the death?
It just says they haven't evaluated everything yet.
So
they have evaluated about 20% of all the side effects. Mm-hmm. So it's really not very much. So this is what they just state, is it might be death because of the vaccine, but it's not confirmed. Mm-hmm. But that's all the figures we have. So it means it's really difficult to get all the numbers. And if you normalize it, to so that one so the, those below the age of 20 has the fatality rate of 1 per let's see then those that are between in their 20s, between 20 and 29, the relative risk is 2, and 39, 4, 40 to 49, 10, 50 to 59, 33, 60 to 69, 104. And 70 to 79, 364, and 89 is 1,483, and those above 90 is 4,250.
Those are, I don't understand, those are fatalities, cases of death after vaccination, or is this only the connection between COVID and mortality?
No, this is this is the fatality rate normalized of those 288 cases, because there are very many that have died in their 80s and 90 plus.
So the likelihood of that you die with
if you look at the likelihood of dying with COVID-19 is
increases
per 100,000 mm-hmm. inhabitants. Mm-hmm. It is about if you're 90 plus, it's almost 2,000 that have died. Mm-hmm. Per 100,000. Those that are in the 80s, just 600. Mm-hmm. So it's really not very much fatalities. Mm-hmm. I have a figure, maybe it could look that.
Yeah, we can see that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What does it show?
It does show the blue columns are the fatality rate for those
age groups.
Each group, and it's what is it?
The blue. What's the blue? The difference between the blue and the red.
The blue is those that have died per. According to the Swedish MPA.
After vaccination?
So after vaccination.
Okay.
And the red one is the fatality rate per 100,000 inhabitants.
Uh-huh. So does this mean that if I look at the last two columns, the blue one is about twice the size of the red one? If it is, I can't tell the difference between red and green. But if it's twice the size, does that mean that after vaccination, twice as many people die as they do normally?
No, we don't know. Because we have problems with the fatality rate, because they say sometimes, well, we had one occasion in Övertorneå, which is a small community way up north in Sweden, around the polar, the Arctic Circle. Mm-hmm. And they had 8 fatalities in the beginning of September. And of those 8 fatalities, 7 were double vaccinated, 1 had refused. Mm-hmm. And that was an elderly home. And there were 15 altogether, so there were some staffers as well that had been vaccinated but were tested positive with a PCR test. Mm-hmm. I didn't see those as side effects at Läkemedelsverket, the MPA. They should have been, according to what I think. And also, they probably were among cases that had been assigned as a death with COVID-19. But it's difficult to find out. Mm-hmm. Well, no, wait. There, I found them. They were in those. But there are just a few, according to the Folkhälsomyndigheten, public health authority, mm-hmm. they are keeping track of everything. They state there are about 8 deaths per day nowadays. In the summer, there were down to one or two or zero death per day.
Deaths now of COVID-related deaths?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we have had really low figures of fatalities after May. They've been lying very low, around zero. And now they have increased in the beginning of September. But after now, after we have been freed from all restrictions almost in Sweden on September 27th, the PCR tests are going down. The intensive care unit persons are going down. Fatalities are going down. So I have a figure here as well. Let's see if you can see that one.
Mm-hmm.
We had two. The black line is fatalities. The red line is PCR test positive. The yellow line is intensive care unit patients that enter the ICU per day. So we had about the peaks of death are about 100, but just for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dotted line to the far right is the middle black peak, just transposed to the same positions the next year.
Uh-huh.
So that is the probability of getting a new peak. But we haven't got a new peak. Mm-hmm. You see, it's just going down, down, down. And when the red line starts going down last time here, that's around September 29th.
What does this mean? Does this mean that after all of the measures were stopped, you're saying on September the 27th, everything went down? Yeah. Infections went down. I mean, a PCR positive tests went down. Fatalities went down. Hospitalization went down. Everything went down. Is that so?
Yes.
Did you... In Sweden, Sweden is a different country. It's different from probably most other countries. You didn't in the start when Anders Tegnell was still in charge, more or less. You did not have any measures, no real measures. Of course, you protected. You gave special protection to those who are the most vulnerable, the older people in nursing homes, for example. But there were no measures. Everybody tried to. Frame you, the Swedish people, as a reckless country, and you would have to pay a price for it. Then it turns out nothing happened, nothing worse than in all of those countries that had the most, that had the strictest measures anywhere. Like, for example, if you compare what happened in Sweden with what happened in Belgium and the Netherlands, there's no big difference. Actually, things got worse in these two countries. But then the vaccination started. Did you have excess mortality after the vaccination started, or did you not even have that?
Well, according to what I have found on this paper, if you look at here is a little hunch.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that the red line is PCR positive, about 7,000 at peak per day. Then it goes down as well as the mortality. In beginning of February 21.
21
or 22? 21.
So this is after the vaccinations had started.
The vaccination started around, I think it was December 28th, but there were very few at the start. So the vaccinations have been really slow going upwards, and then recently been really going up.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the fatality rate. Despite a PCR test increase, they change the method of PCR tests just in beginning of February. But despite that increase, the fatality rate went down to 20.
So other words, they changed the method of PCR testing. I presume they changed it from whatever 24 cycles of amplification to 40 cycles of amplifications.
No. What they did was they had already 30 to 40 cycles.
Okay.
And the problem is that they changed from a single test, PCR test for COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2 to a poly or multi-test that could test up to 100 different...
A multiplex.
A multi-test that could test about 100 different viruses.
Ah, and all of a sudden it turns out it's not COVID, it's other viruses.
I don't know. I don't know how they make the test or how they, do they get which virus is out there or not.
So you mean that this shows that with the second peak, the second the double peak, the red one, so they used a test kit that was able to detect a lot of other viruses, and they would still be considered to be positive just for SARS-CoV-2. So meaning this is a pseudo SARS peak.
I don't know. But they changed the test method anyway. That's no problem.
In which way did they change it? What did they do?
They changed from a single...
to a multiplex. It's called. Yeah.
Test, yes.
When did they do it? When did they start changing this method? And was it ordered by the state? Or were it only some doctors? Did some regions go on only with a single PCR and other regions did it differently, or how did it happen? Do you know this?
The only thing I know is that they changed the method. I don't know why, but I know when, and that was around February 10.
This is very interesting, because then you could compare where they make a differential diagnosis and where they didn't make a differential diagnosis, whether the number of diagnoses was changing in accordance from that.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very interesting to look after that.
Yeah, I'll check if I can find out some info about it.
So I always have problems understanding graphs and numbers, but if you what is the gist of what you found out?
Here, the death rate is following the PCR test rate up and down. But then around February 10, they split.
Mm-hmm.
So that would mean that there is no correlation between PCR test positivity and fatality. But also look here. There is a plateau for 2 or 3 months where there are just 20 deaths per day. And this is the 30-day mortality after PCR test positivity.
Is the statistic per 100,000 inhabitants, or how is it?
No, this is total.
Ah, yeah.
So, but here we go down to almost zero during the summer.
Mm-hmm. Well,
both PCR test mortality and intensive care unit admissions.
Mm-hmm.
And who did this extrapolation into the future? This green dotted line, is that your estimate, or is that was an estimate that the government had?
No, this is just I just have transposed this fatality rate. No, the PCR rate.
Okay.
Just transposed it over
to later.
Hmm. I really don't understand the connection, actually. I don't know what depends on what. What I can understand is that you're saying in the summer, everything was down to zero. PCR positive tests, PET test result, fatality rates, and hospitalization. I understand that. And that proves what Dr. Vodak and all the others have been telling us, that viruses normally go away during the summer when it becomes warmer, when there's more sunshine. That I do understand. But I don't understand how it can be that PCR positive tests all of a sudden have nothing to do with fatality rates anymore. How did that happen? What is the explanation for that?
The only explanation I can find is that they changed the method of testing. And what kind of testing they changed, I don't. The only thing I have heard from the lab people is that they changed the method from testing just one virus, SARS-CoV-2, to testing those multi-tests, taking care of about 100,000 at the same time. No, 100 different virus at the same time, like RS virus, measles, enteroviruses, and also including adenovirus, which is a DNA influenza-like infection.
Mm-hmm. But all it's the very strange. Why would they do this?
I don't know.
This should have been done from the beginning.
Well, in that case, there were no tests available, multiple tests available.
Is it that?
Yes, there were. There were. In Scotland, they did from 2013 already.
Uh-huh.
So, can it be that they're trying to return to normal scientific methods now that they have achieved what they wanted to achieve? Because that is what I gather from all this. All of a sudden, they are capable of doing this, what is it called?
Multiplex.
Yeah, and the other, wie heißt diese Diagnose, Wolfgang, nochmal, die... Differential. All of a sudden, they're capable of performing differential diagnoses, it seems, with the help of this multi-whatever test.
Yeah. And they have, since December or during 2021, they've been testing between 200,000 and 300,000, making 200,000 and 300,000 PCR tests per week.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much.
And it's very important to know where they tested. You know, if you go to the airport and test healthy people coming from abroad, you get different correlation between death and tests. As if you make the test only in asylums for old people, or make the test only in hospitals or where the people are ill, then you have a bigger, higher rate of fatalities compared with the number of tests. The harvest is bigger.
Hmm. Well, in Sweden, if you feel sick, you're allowed to go to test centers and take the test. So those about 250,000 people taking the test every week. Almost everyone has some kind of symptoms.
Symptoms, yes.
Are just now, I think there are less than 2% positive PCR tests.
Yes,
at the top there were about 13% positive PCR tests.
This is well, very well fitting to the literature. When you find symptoms of acute respiratory diseases, it's always around 10%, from 5 to a little bit more than 10%, which are done by coronaviruses. And the SARS-CoV-2 now is one of the most frequent coronaviruses. So this 2% is maybe it is to be expected. It's nothing. It should have been there all the other years too, but we didn't look for it.
Yeah. And also, I don't like when they just add the numbers of fatalities and the number of tests year after year after year after year. Because if you look at the influenza-like infection season, it starts around September 1st and it goes to the August 21st next year. And in Sweden, we have had about 12,000 fatalities in 2020.
COVID related,
mm-hmm. Yes. The total fatality per year is between 88 and 97,000 per year.
Mm-hmm.
We have a population of almost exactly 10 million.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the fatality that occur of COVID-19 fatalities that occurred between September 1st, 2019 till August 31st, 2020, there were just 5,880 fatalities, almost 6,000. That is, per a million inhabitants, it's point. It's very low number.
Mm-hmm.
And then next year, influenza-like infection year, there were 8,880 fatalities. But if you look at the total fatalities in Sweden, the first peak, it was 92,000 fatalities or death. And in the next year, it was just 90,000 people dying, despite higher COVID-19 related death.
Yeah, that proves that COVID doesn't really have an impact on the mortality rate, doesn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is what a statistician whom we're going to interview right after you has always been trying to confirm to us, that COVID does not have an effect. COVID itself, the vaccinations, may be a different story in some countries. In your country, however, even the vaccinations don't seem to have had an impact on anything.
I think it does have, because look at this hunch here.
Mm-hmm.
That when they vaccinated people.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And to start with, it was the elderly and frail
mm-hmm.
people.
Yeah.
So that means that probably some of those died here,
mm-hmm.
but we can't show it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
I
think it would be interesting to learn more about this, the change of the test method. You know, if you could maybe, if I don't know if there's a way, you know, if you could dig deeper into that and maybe let us know. Like, that would be very important, I think.
Because something seems to have profoundly changed after they changed the PCR testing method, after they changed to the multi-test.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay. We'll have to learn more about this.
Yeah.
Okay, Björn, well, thank you very much for this update. I always have problems with statistics and with graphs in particular, but I think I understand at least some of what you told us. And I know that Viviane and Wolfgang understand much more than I do. I just have this limited ability of understanding such things. Well, thank you.
But the one thing, you surround yourself with people that do know.
I hope so. Okay. Well, Björn, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And have a great weekend.
The same to you.
Thank you. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.